are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So the concept of the mark of the beast is primarily associated with the end time prophecies in Christianity. Today's discussion is meant to serve as a starting point for exploring the theological, doctrinal, and practical dimensions of the mark of the beast within the framework of the end time prophecy. And how they say, of the end time prophecy. It's just a repeat there. So we are joined again, once again, on the line by my Elder Ngandu here, who's helping us to unpack all things the mark of the beast this week. My Elder Murubwanji, how are you?
I'm good, Zanile. How are you doing?
I am good, my Elder. Yeah, I'm ready. Before we start, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us?
Shall we pray? Our Father who is in heaven, yet again we humble ourselves as we acknowledge that wisdom and knowledge is from you. And since Christ promised that it was necessary for him to depart, and that in his place he will send us another comforter, who is the Holy Spirit, we want to request that Holy Spirit faithful guide. May you guide in this discussion, and may you convict us of sin and of righteousness, that at the end of the day, we plead earnestly that someone will find salvation even from this discussion. This is our humble request in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen and amen. So we've started, you know, speaking about the mark of the beast on Monday. Today it's Wednesday. And yeah, it's quite an interesting topic, my Elder, that you are dealing with there. So looking at today, you know, the end time prophecies. So is the mark of the beast considered a central element in end time prophecy across various Christian traditions, or it's just a certain people that hold this view?
Yes, it is. Probably a recap on what we have discussed so far. What we understand and what we believe the mark of the beast is the legislation and enforcement of Sunday as a day of worship. And accepting it is accepting the mark of the beast. Now, there are basically three schools of prophetic interpretation regarding the apocalyptic prophecy, not the other prophets. We are all agreeable as a Christian movement in terms of what Isaiah says. But when it comes to Daniel and Revelation, there are basically three. So we have what you call the futurist school of thought. Now, this school of thought is basically introducing a concept that is not there in the Bible. It's you can read from Genesis to Revelation, you'll not find it. Mm-hmm. And this concept is the concept of rapture. So in this theory, the righteous or the saints are going to be raptured, okay? Like we are talking right now, and I don't hear you because you've been raptured. Mm. And I remain. So the ones that are going to remain, according to this theory, they are going to go through a time of tribulation for 7 years. Mm. And this theory principally says it's these people that are going to remain that are going to get to be troubled with the mark of the beast. Okay, but this dilutes the end time a theory that is categorically stated in the Bible. The next one is the preterist. Preterist is another theory that dilutes the concept of the end time prophecy. Mm-hmm. And these are people that say this thing happened during the first century. So during the persecution of the Christian church, the persecution of John. The disciple, the persecution of Peter, and this is the time when the mark of the beast was enforced. But we as Seventh-day Adventists believe in what is called the historicist school of thought.
Okay.
So this one is it picks up the prophecy from the time of the prophecy to the time of the end time. Mm. Now, if you what we believe are Seventh-day Adventists, if you take, for example, Daniel chapter 2, what we believe in Daniel chapter 2 is that there has been four powerful kingdoms, world kingdoms, and we have seen the Babylonian kingdom, and history tells us true, there was a Babylonian kingdom. And after the Babylonian kingdom, we had the Medes and Persian kingdom, and history tells us true, there was a Medes and Persian kingdom. After the Medes and Persian kingdom, there was the Greek kingdom, which history tells us that indeed there was a Greek kingdom. After the Greek, there was the Roman kingdom. And after the Roman kingdom, there is the feet of clay on the statue in Daniel chapter 2, which were not the feet of clay and of iron. These kingdoms are divided kingdoms. And it's during this period of time when we actually begin to see pagan Rome persecuting the Christian church. And it's during this period of time when we see an emperor called Constantine introducing the Sunday worship officially in the Christian sphere. And so, yes, we believe that this prophecy affects Christians, all traditions of Christian Christendom, even up to the end of time. Yes.
Okay. When you were speaking about the symbols there, I just remembered this evangelistic campaign we had in Botswana, and I remember when they were showing the pictures there, the whole congregation, like, you know, the scary part of it, like, no, this looks so scary and stuff, but the pastor was able to take them through, you know, the beast and everything. So I just remembered that as you were explaining that. So looking at this one's Mundiswam, in what ways now is the mark of the beast believed to be connected to a period of tribulation and the final confrontation between good and evil?
Now, in chapter 13, we are introduced to two beasts. Okay. The first beast who receives power from the dragon is a scary beast. Okay. It has seven heads and 10 horns. This beast is what we refer to as the papacy. It carries itself in the manner as that of pagan Rome. Now, a little explanation. The Bible explains itself, Zanile. And most of us, we have limited ourselves because we will pick one passage of scripture and run to town with it. Now, in Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, okay, the dragon is described. Okay. Yeah, when you get there, the Bible tells us the dragon is the devil or Satan. Okay. Now, when Satan comes in chapter 12, you notice that he is following Jesus. When the virgin is about to give birth, he is persecuting the church. He is persecuting that child. Now, which media did the devil use? We all know that he came down. He didn't come as a devil. He came down and used the media of pagan Rome to persecute the Christ as a child. Now, listen to what Revelation 13, 3 to 4 says. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Now, this is interesting, verse 4. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? Now, this is very critical. The devil won't appear as here I am, come and worship me. You always want to use a media. In the first century, before or at the point when Christ was born, he used the medium, which was pagan Rome. And in these last days, before he introduces the mark of the beast, he is going to use the papacy, who has taken over the power of from the pagan Rome. Now, verse 7. It's very interesting, verse 7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And the power was given him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. This is not just, it's not limited to Europe. It's not limited to America. It's all over. This is a global war, and he would want to influence that. Now, verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him.
Mm.
Okay, that's key. Whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, without going too much into detail, the second beast is a lamb-like beast, which we believe is to be America, which will enforce what the beast would want it to do. And this is the enforcement of thunder law.
Okay.
Now, remember what we had said. What we had said is the mark of the beast.
Mm-hmm.
The mark of the beast is the legislation,
yes,
and enforcement of Sunday as a day of worship.
Mm.
Okay? Going to Sunday to church right now is not receiving the mark of the beast.
Okay.
But the moment we accept the legislation and the enforcement of Sunday as a day of worship, that's when we say we are accepting the enforcement of the mark of the beast. Now, I want you to understand, it's a simple illustration that I'm going to give. But before I probably get to that illustration, let me just say this. Right now, as a country, as Zambia, we're experiencing a drought.
Yes.
And you see, this drought is being attributed to climate change.
Okay.
All right? And you see, the world are coming together in trying to come up with a way of how do we handle this issue of climate change.
Mm-hmm.
There are places where it's so hot and forests are burning on their own. There are places where ice is melting.
Mm-hmm.
But in trying to change, in trying to come up with a system, the world is going to agree that let's have one day.
Mm.
One day in a week where we will not work, where we will not burn carbon, and where we will not drive.
Mm.
Okay. And so this is where it is taking us. It is going to take us to that day, which is Sunday. So now you and I would agree. If I say no, me, I'm going to work on Sunday. Because it's not anywhere documented that it's a day of worship.
Mm.
People will say, I'm a fundamentalist. I'm a fanatic, and so because people want to have an environment that is free. Now, also, if you remember during the COVID time, there was this issue when there was this animosity between those who received the vaccination
and those who didn't.
You see, especially from the ones who received, they were so angry with those that didn't receive the vaccination. Now, this is just a vaccination.
Mm.
Now, imagine you start refusing to do what the rest of the world is doing. Persecution will definitely come. And this is the way the devil operates. By the way, the devil has two methods of pushing his agenda. He'll either deceive, and if he fails to deceive you, he'll use force.
Mm.
That's his way of doing things. And he uses media.
It's a lot, Mfundisi, it's a lot. And I remember, you know, during that time, we did have that whole debate during the COVID times. So there's a listener, my elder, that is asking for clarity. They are saying here, I'm so lost. So currently, Sunday worshippers do not bear the mark of the beast. So that is the question, Mfundisi, if you can clarify that for our listener.
Yes, so currently, worshiping, going to Sunday to church does not classify you as having received the mark of the beast.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because again, here is the situation. Christ says, I have a lot of sheep out there. And when the time comes, I'll call them and they'll hear my call. But again, I just wanted to say something. Six months ago,
mm-hmm.
I used to exercise regularly.
Mm-hmm.
I would do 80 press-ups at a go, all right? But then I stopped, okay? Then a few weeks ago, I wanted to go back and exercise.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't get to 40.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because my muscles had relaxed.
Yes.
My muscles could not endure. So what I'm trying to say is that, you see, it shouldn't comfort someone who is going to church on a Sunday and says, I haven't received the mark of the beast. But if you don't practice your faith right now, it will be very difficult for you to practice your faith when the time comes, because this is the time to make a choice whether to follow a counterfeit seal of the counterfeit God or to follow the real seal, which is the seventh day Sabbath.
Okay. I hope the listener is answered there. I believe they will come back if they are not yet clear on that one, my elder. To our listeners at home, if you also do have a question, you know, don't get lost as well. Do text us on +27 7347035200. So, my elder, are there specific biblical passages or teachings that denominations use to support their views on the relationship between the mark of the beast and the end time events?
So, on the first day, we did look at those passages. Mm-hmm. For the sake of those who have just joined in, Revelation 13. 16 to 18. I'm not going to read for the sake of time, but find time to go through that passage. Revelation 14, verse 9 to 11, which is the third angel's message, talking about warning people not to receive the mark of the beast or to worship the beast. The next one is Revelation 15, verse 2, which talks about what happens to those who receive the mark of the beast when the time of the end comes. Revelation 16, verse 2, again referring to the mark of the beast and the consequences that comes to those who accept it and worship the image of the beast. Revelation 19, verse 20, and Revelation 20, verse 4. These are very specific texts, and all of them, Zanile, all of them are based on the issue of worship. Again, I want to state here that those who push an agenda that the mark of the beast is a literal mark, what is the relationship between a literal mark and worship?
Yeah. Me, I can't answer from this. Me, my elder, I don't know. To our listeners, if you do have the question, the answer, you know, to my elder's question, come through, you know. So, looking at the variations of interpretation, you know, so are there variations in the interpretation of the chronological sequence of the events leading up to the mark of the beast and its aftermath? So, for example, now you have clarified that it is not a now thing, right? It is not a today thing, receiving of the mark of the beast. So do we have different interpretations, Guti? For example, there will be the shaking of the earthquake. I don't know why I love to dramatize things. Maybe there will be an earthquake. After the earthquake, Jesus will come back, and then we have the mark of the beast, or we're going to have the mark of the beast, we're going to have floods, there's going to be war, then Jesus comes back. Do we have any variations in terms of how it's going to happen?
Okay, so principally, I think most of the churches agree that we are living at almost the end of time. Mm. The love of many shall wax cold. I think we are seeing that. Mm. We are seeing that the gospel is preached to almost every part of the world. We are seeing that. We are seeing calamities take place worldwide. We have seen how cold-blooded humans have become in terms of the war between Israel and Palestine, the war in Russia. So all these things are showing that we are actually living at the end of time. Mm. But before the end of time, before Christ comes, the Bible is very specific. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11, yeah, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There is coming a time. I know some theologians will try and want to dilute this, but there's no escaping it. Mm. It's either you die before the persecution comes, or you are going to face persecution if you stand for God. Now, that's given. You see, we sometimes pretend that, no, God loves us so much, he wouldn't allow us to go through trials. But how did if that's the case, why then did God allow the early church to go through tribulation and all the persecution that they went through? We know that the devil is aware is the same from the time he fell from heaven to this very moment. He either uses deceit or he's going to use force. Mm. And when you don't agree to doing what the devil says, he will bring persecution. And this is what we are waiting for. And for me, if I look at the signs that are happening right now, especially when you see world leaders coming together, I hope we have time to talk about the woman riding on a beast of Revelation chapter 17. Mm. You see, the symbol of a woman is the woman represents a church, and the beast represents either a nation or a kingdom or a political power. Mm. Now, when a church is in control of a nation or a political power, disaster happens, and we have seen that happen. And when we are putting ourselves together, and the church is pushing an agenda which we all agree on, that we need to have a day where we should not emit any carbon, where we will not drive, where we will not our factories will come to a halt, and we agree, we know that we are going towards the mark of the beast.
Okay. All right. Listener, I think the listener was answered on that one because they're not texting back with any questions. So it means that they are sorted there. So as we near the close, my elder, yeah, indeed, today we spoke a lot. Hey, well, you spoke a lot, you know. So are there specific preparations or responses recommended based on denominational interpretation of end time events and the mark of the beast? Is there anything we need to do? Or, hi, it's okay, we just see and do our gardens and you know, or there are things that we ought to be doing.
Okay, so Revelation 14 verse 7 says worship the creator. Okay, now the antidote to all this, Zanile, is that when God holds the supreme place that he's supposed to hold in our life, okay, then everything else falls into place. Now listen, in Revelation 14, there are three elements that we need to take note of. In verse 17 is worship the creator. In verse 14, do not worship the beast. God is very, very, very precise. First of all, he tells us that we should worship him. The second thing he's telling us that we shouldn't worship the beast. The third thing he's telling us in Revelation 14, verse 12, is that those who keep the commandments of Christ, okay, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. So how do we behave ourselves? We keep the commandments of God and we have the faith of Jesus Christ. The faith of Jesus Christ is simply accepting his faith as our own, to be able to be led by him or by the Holy Spirit, that come what may, we'll stand the whatever comes our way. Now also, Isaiah 28 verse 10 tells us, look, We shouldn't run with one verse and then we say, I've got it. It says precept upon precept, okay? Line upon line. You see, compare verses upon verses. Don't say Old Testament. The Old Testament is not valid anymore. It was crucified on the cross. But Christ is using the Old Testament even in his teaching. The other thing that we should understand is Isaiah 8 verse 20, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them.
True.
So the issue at hand, we should not wait until the enactment of Sunday law to realize that this is a mark of the beast and worship God in truth and in spirit, because this is our calling. We need to exercise the faith right now. We know the difference. There is the seal of God, which is the Sabbath, and there's also the seal of the counterfeit God, the devil, in his medium. I think I'll submit.
Hi, we have heard. Thank you so much for that one, my elder. And I believe that everyone has heard you. The Bible says that those who hear, who have an ear, let them hear. So thank you so much. I'm going to ask that before we end, can you please end in a word of prayer?
Shall we pray? Loving God, yet again, we want to submit that we need your intervention. We know that there's coming a time when we shall be forced, for the sake of preservation, to accept the enactment or the legislation and the enforcement of Sunday as a day of worship. We want to ask that Lord help us to have the faith of Jesus Christ right now, to be able to hold on to the truth that you have put categorically in Scripture, so that as we go by on our daily basis, we'll always renew our relationship with you, and come what may, we'll stand according to the way Christ stood against all the wiles of the wicked one. This, Lord, is our humble request. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. My elder, thank you so much for coming through. May you have yourself a blessed day.
Thank you very much, Sanile. Have a good day too.
Amen.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.